The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field, which a person finds and hides again, and out of joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field." Again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant searching for fine pearls. When he finds a pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Welcome back, everybody. Okay, so here's two tiny little parables for you. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure buried in a field. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. When you think kingdom of heaven, think the discovery of the presence of God. Simple way to think about it just for these parables. The kingdom of heaven, think the discovery of the presence of God. Sometimes that discovery is completely by surprise and quite by accident, like stumbling upon a treasure buried in a field. Sometimes that discovery is the result of a long, arduous search, like a merchant searching for fine pearls. In the first instance, our Lord tells us that none of this is our own doing. It's all his complete, free, unmerited gift. But in the second instance, he tells us that he will not give us that gift, not without our active cooperation. But in both instances, the price of the kingdom is totality. You sell all that you have, and you buy that kingdom. You buy that pearl. You buy that field. I've mentioned before that every parable is a riddle. It's not an explanation. The Hebrew word for parable is mashal, and it means an enticing riddle. And it didn't necessarily so much make things clear as it made you think. There was always something unexpected in the parable, some twist, and in that twist is found the message. Okay, so what's the twist in these two tiny little parables? The twist is that in both cases they sell all that they have to buy the item that's in question. Okay, so here's the treasure buried in a field. Why was there a treasure buried in a field? Didn't they have banks in the days of the Bible? Sure, they had banks in Bible times, in Roman times. It's just that they weren't exactly FDIC insured. The safest thing, you could put your money in a bank, right? You get interest. Safest place you could put your treasure was in the ground. And that's why all across the Roman Empire, there were treasures buried in fields. In fact, this is fascinating. Just this past week, I think it was someplace in Cappadocia in Turkey, they found a treasure buried in a field, right? They're still out there. And under Roman law, there was a simple rule. Finders keepers. Okay, so here's a man, he comes across a treasure buried in a field. And what does he do? He sells everything that he has and he buys that field. Well, that's not what people would do. If you came across a treasure buried in a field, what would you do? You'd take the treasure, right? You wouldn't go bother buying the field. You'd just take it. But here's Jesus giving us a lesson about the kingdom. It's not something you can fake. It's not something you can falsify. It's not something you can steal. You want to discover the relationship with God that is authentic and real? It's going to cost you. And for a different angle on that same idea, you get this other tiny little parable here. The merchant searching for fine pearls. And he goes and he sells all that he has and he buys that pearl. Question for you here this morning. What's he supposed to eat for dinner that night? Where's he supposed to sleep? He's just sold everything that he has and he's bought a pearl. So imagine you stumble upon a homeless vagabond dressed in tatters, all gaunt and ribsy. And you walk up to him and you say, "Hey, man, are you doing okay?" And he says to you, "Oh, I'm doing great. I haven't slept in a week and I haven't eaten since Saturday, but hey, I got this pearl," right? Well, you'd think he's crazy. And so too, the people who heard Jesus give this parable would have thought, that that's crazy. And part of the message here, brothers and sisters, is that if you're going to follow the Lord, people are going to think you're crazy, because the price of following our Lord is everything. You ever notice this? You say yes to God, and what does he do? He asks more and more and more of you, doesn't he? He isn't satisfied. He keeps asking more and more. And why? Because it's not anything he wants but you. And everything you have is his gift to you, complete and total gift. You can't give back what he's already given to you. There's only one thing you can give, and that's the gift of your freedom. That's why discipleship in the Lord isn't so much a battle to be fought or a mountain to be climbed. It's a surrender to be laid at our Lord's feet. This is why the saints rejoiced to do God's will, especially when it didn't make any sense, because that was their most perfect offering of their freedom. That was how they loved the Lord. And so our Lord says to us, you know, you want to be my disciple? You want to know what it means to know me? It's going to cost. It's going to cost you everything that you are. But there's one thing he doesn't tell us in this parable, one thing the saints can't tell us, one thing we have to discover for ourselves. Namely, that what you get is far, far greater than what you give. Our Lord pays really well. And you'll come to discover that what you get, part with all that you have, you do so with great joy. Out of great joy, you sell all that you have and you buy that field or you obtain that pearl. If you want to be truly wealthy, set your heart on what's truly valuable. That was the spirit of the saints. That was the spirit of our Lord. Let's make that our spirit as well, as we ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. St. Alphonsus Liguori, pray for us.